Welcome back to another episode of Tell Me Sis Podcast, featuring your two favorite sisters,
Alex
and Kyla.
Hey everyone, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, my favorite day of the week. I think I like Fridays more than I like Saturdays.
I actually would agree with that because I always say this, like, Saturday's the best day because it's like everyone's off work and there's so much to do, but Friday's the anticipation. It's like the last day of work. Like,
you have the full weekend ahead of you. Saturday hasn't even started.
And it's really cool because so my management team has implemented this like mental health, because with what I do as a job, like, you kind of work all the time at random hours, and my management's based out of LA. So I was always on like LA time. But it's just been like, it's been tough. I mean, I've been doing this for years now. And so they've implemented this like 9 to 5 schedule, except for Fridays is 9 to 1.
Okay.
So every day is 9 to 5. That's like when we talk. And then, but like for me, it's East Coast time.
Yeah.
So when it's 5 p.m. my time, even though it's not 5 p.m. in LA, it's like, it's done for me.
Okay.
So like in the morning, I'm not reaching out to my management until it's 9 a.m. their time.
Okay.
So it's like noon for me.
Yeah.
You know? So I technically really I'm only talking to them from like noon to 5.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yes, for my time, which is nice because
I mean, I shouldn't say that's awesome because you actually have a friendship with them. You guys get along.
No, we do. But it's like in the mornings I get all my editing done, like all the things that like I don't have to be sitting there emailing or doing meetings or anything like that. It's like really just focused on my own work.
Yeah.
So in the mornings I get to do my work, and then between noon, well, I have like a lunch break, but then yeah, so basically 1 to 5 I'm like in contact with them and stuff, and
yeah,
and then it's done and I'm like, I put my phone away. And yeah, I'll like shoot content on the weekends sometimes, but recently I haven't been doing those like weekend recaps because I've just been like living in the moment.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah,
it's much needed.
But I have been focusing a lot more on YouTube, like doing weekly vlogs, which have been so much fun because it's been like getting my creativity back.
Yeah, actually I've been seeing a few of them too.
I just
feel I'm like good. Starting to get a little bit back into YouTube.
Me too.
For a while I was like really
over it.
Now I'm getting a little bit more back into it. I feel like YouTube is gonna make a comeback.
It is. And I'm like, there's a lot of TikTokers that are now transitioning to YouTube because they want to make longer form content.
Yeah,
my vlogs are like between 30 and 40 minutes. Like,
doesn't Alex Earl have like a podcast now and she posts it on YouTube?
Oh, does she? I don't know.
I think so.
My new favorite person to follow is Paige Lorenz. Do you know her?
Yes, I follow her, but on Instagram.
No, so I follow her YouTube and it's just so good. Like, I was so inspired by one of her vlogs that I was like, I'm gonna make like a nice, like my vlogs have already been long for a while, but they've just been really chatty. This one was chatty along with like some cinematic aspects, some music. Yeah. Like, it was just really pretty because I was inspired by her like home vlog. Do you know who she is though? Like her.
Where's my phone?
I don't know. Oh, it's over there.
Let me grab my phone.
So I followed her because I found her on TikTok when she was like, get ready with me to go to the barn, because she lives in Connecticut and like has horses and stuff. But she's dating a tennis player, like a famous tennis player.
Okay.
So she travels with him and stuff.
Yeah,
and
I love her pictures. I love her style.
But her YouTube is just so cozy. Like, I just really, really like her. And so watching her vlogs has really gotten me to be inspired. Because honestly, Kyla, like, when I was doing YouTube back in the day, I would get inspired by all the people I was watching.
Yeah.
Like, the Get Ready With Me videos, the What's In My Bag, the makeup tutorials, hair tutorials, hauls. Like, all of those is because I watched those videos.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to do my own take on this.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like, because YouTube mainly is vlogs, I'm getting inspired when I watch other people's vlogs and the way that they edit and the way that they like put things together that I'm like,
yeah, they'll
I
make
like
it
that.
Very aesthetically pleasing. Almost it's like a Pinterest vlog.
Yes, exactly.
I'm obsessed. Side note, I'm obsessed with Pinterest.
Me too.
Lately.
Me too.
I'm constantly on Pinterest.
Me too.
That is my inspo.
Yeah,
for
I love Pinterest.
The few times that I do upload on Instagram.
Yeah, I really, really, really like Pinterest. But yeah, I'm like falling in love again with YouTube and it's been really nice. I've never really stopped creating content on YouTube. There was definitely a phase where I was just like not into it and it was pretty obvious. But it was when I was like struggling with IVF and all that kind of stuff behind the scenes. I just like, my brain was not there. But I don't know, now I'm just like really enjoy, and I get excited to film and to see the feedback, and I make like them like a story. So I used to really, my vlogs would be like titled vlog and then like what I would do in the vlog. Yeah. So it'd be like vlog, unboxing haul, family day, whatever. It would like, that'd be the title. And then the thumbnail would be like three photos that I had taken throughout the week on Instagram and put together with like a title on the thumbnail. Now I just like grab either one photo or a still from the video and I just make that the thumbnail with like a little text that, not that it has nothing to do with it, but it's like a little quirky thing or just something like funny. Like, okay, so what did I title one vlog? It was like fall aesthetic vibes or something like that, or something funny. Or like the one I'm posting tomorrow is on the thumbnail, it's just blood, sweat, and tears, because it's like the announcement with Smellies. So it's like all the blood, sweat, and tears that
goes into that. I love this. I love this change. And then the title
is like something else. So it'll be like, I can't believe this happened, or like that's kind of a clickbaity one, but it's because I actually couldn't believe it. What else? I just like title them something a bit different.
Yeah, I know. But also it's changing the way you need to market yourself nowadays.
Well, yeah, because I want people to click on my video. And like this video that I filmed this past week was like, I was so proud of it because the amount of work that went into it.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I just title it like vlog going up to the cabin for a week, spending time with family, pumpkin picking, like literally no one's gonna click on that.
No, it just sounds, because boring. Now things change so quickly. It's like YouTube is turning more into like a Pinterest-y kind of like vibe.
Yeah, so I just was kind of like, okay, well I have to market myself differently if I want people to actually watch my content. And it's not clickbaity in the fact that it has nothing to do with the content. Like I'll always, it's kind of like when you have a title of a chapter or a title of a book, I'll take something that happened in the vlog and I'll make that the title, the focus of it. So I was talking to Dan and I was like, oh, I don't know what to title this vlog. And he was like, you should title it, this is what I look like naked in the shower.
No, if let's say you're filming like on a day or a few days when it's rainy, you can literally title it rainy days.
Yeah, but then like that also kind of sounds boring. No?
I don't find.
I also like,
depending on what the picture is for your thumbnail.
Yeah. I guess it depends. Because like I wouldn't click on that. Like I try to think of things that I would click on.
Like what?
Just something that stands out to me. Like if I were to be scrolling YouTube and be like, oh, that was like, if I saw a video of just like something that's a rainy days, I'd be like, boring, next.
Really?
Yeah.
For me, it would depend. Like if it was called rainy days, but then it was a picture of like inside of a home that's like you looking out of the window, but like the home is like decorated really nicely and it's kind of gloomy, but then you see the rain in the back and you're maybe sitting beside a cat or something, I'd be like, ooh, what is this?
Maybe.
Like the picture would have to do it justice.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, in that sense I can kind of understand. But yeah, I'm just trying to like adapt with the times when it comes to YouTube, because I was so stuck for so long and like making all my content look the same. And now I'm just like not about that anymore. I just like, I'm different and YouTube is different and the viewers are different.
And like we said a few episodes ago, like you always change, right? You're never going to be the same.
Yeah. And like, I don't see myself stopping social media. Like even when I'm doing some, let's say I have a different job or I'm doing something else, I still would probably post vlogs because I love it. Yeah. I think it's so much fun to just like,
well, you have so share. Much fun content coming up.
Yeah. I just like, I don't know, I'm just excited. So what was even the point of like us talking about this?
We asked for this episode, we asked our listeners to write in, ask us absolutely anything.
Mm-hmm. And so advice.
Literally anything. So we went through them.
Mm-hmm.
I need your phone.
Yeah.
Oh, someone asked. It's for you.
Oh.
You're showing Arky's face more now. Did your thoughts change on it? Sending love.
I think we talked about this in another episode. Or maybe I talked about it on YouTube. I don't remember. Here's the thing. Is that like I talk about things and then I forget where I say it.
That's fine.
No, we did talk about it on an episode. Because I remember we said that I was almost like not bullied into not showing him, but like kind of. And I just felt like I kind of took it as an extreme, like, I needed to, like, hide him forever. And I do know the risks of social media, totally. And I do think I overshared a lot in the past. But now I'm just not really sharing much about him.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be, he'll be, like, in an outfit video. Or, like, I'll show, like, today I showed, like, him getting a haircut. But he's not, like, the focus of my content. And he's, yeah, it's not anything about his
you
life.
You don't want your channel to be specifically, like, you're a mom.
But not even Instagram that. Like, my account. Like, there's a lot of mom social, like, mom influencers. And this is totally fine, like, if they want to do this for their family. But, like, their content is all about their kid. And mine was like that, too. Because when I had a baby, it was right at the beginning of COVID. Like, I literally gave birth May 1st, 2020. We were all in quarantine for, like, a freaking, like, my, the first year of my son's life, we were not leaving the house.
Yeah.
It was insane. So, like, what else the fuck was I supposed to share? I had this new baby. My life completely changed. And I couldn't see anyone or do anything.
Yeah.
And it was winter. So, yeah. I was just sharing, like,
I feel like stuff. Now you have a good balance of, like, you show him, like, when you want to show him in specific, yeah, videos, and then you don't show him when you don't feel like showing him, and he genuinely enjoys those outfit videos. Like, yeah, he's dancing in those videos. They're so cute.
And if ever he doesn't want to do something, I don't make him ever. And I will eventually stop showing him, like, when he does get, like, all, I don't know when that is. I don't want to, this is, like, my issue is that I used to say things, like, so set in stone, and then if I were to change my mind, people, like, got really mad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just don't understand. Like, am I not allowed to ever change my mind about something? Like, I'm a human being. I can change my mind.
Yeah.
So, like, I made this drastic decision to just, like, stop showing his face because I, like, got scared. And then it was, like, almost a year of not showing him. And then I slowly started showing him again. And then I started showing his face, like, on TikTok and, like, little, like, vlogs or, like, little outfit videos here and there, and then I would sometimes post them back to Instagram, and then people would be like, why are you showing his face? And it's like, I should never have said I'm gonna stop showing his face.
Yeah,
I should have just, like, not said anything.
Some things you just don't even, yeah, I guess you just don't have
but
to
I
say.
Used to say everything.
But also, this kind of goes back to, like, what we were talking about in the last episode. You also have to try your best not to let these comments affect you to the extent that they have.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yes, I get it when people have an opinion about, like, you know, you shouldn't show your children on social media. There's a lot of creeps out there. Like, yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, from your perspective, it's like, you're his mom.
Yeah.
You're the person that's allowed to be making these decisions. You know that there's creeps out there. And, you know, if you decide that, like, okay, I'm gonna,
it's just
think
weird,
of it this way too. It's like,
it's tough, right? Because I go back and forth in my mind.
I know.
I'm like, when I think about it a lot, I'm like, ew, that's disgusting. Like, I'm taking him off internet. Like, freaks out. I freak, yeah, out. But then I'm like, realistically, like, I don't, the stuff that I do share of him, I don't get a ton of saves on the online content. And, like, doesn't do better for me than other
content
does. It
doesn't necessarily mean, like, it's as easy as even just posting a picture of your child on Facebook and, like, a pedophile finding that picture on Facebook and taking it. Like, doesn't have to like it, share it, comment, yeah, on it, nothing.
Like, honestly, though, like, it does really freak me out when I think about it like that. And I'm like, I want to take him off, like, immediately. Like, this is disgusting. But at the same time, I'm like, fuck, like, I don't know. I don't fucking know. Like, I want to be able to, like, share my kid in, like, a non, like, there's literally no, it's not often and it's not a lot, and I'm not talking about his life. Like, that was, like, the boundary that I made with myself. Dan is really in the mindset of, like, all kids are going to be on social media eventually, so, like, I don't really see a fucking difference. Like, Dan does not care. He's like, I would show him more if it was me. But I feel like I go back and forth with, like, how I'm feeling. And that's why there's sometimes where I literally, like, will post a story and, like, put text over his face. And people are like, I'm so confused. And it's like, I just, sometimes I feel confident, sometimes I don't. And sometimes I'll go back and, like, delete a bunch of videos that he's in.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, like, I just.
You're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that.
I know, but then there's so many people that are like, you are not allowed. You're being a horrible mom. You're exposing him to, like, creepazoids. Kids should not be on social media. And it's like, I kind of agree with that. But then I'm like, I don't fucking know.
Well, at the end of the day, you're his mom.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm confident in the stuff I share now. Like, when I think about my content, I'm, like, very comfortable with what I do.
Yeah. I don't think you're... Anyways.
Yeah. So that's my answer. Do you want me to pick the next one?
Yeah. I guess, like, go back to the ones that you screenshot.
Well, the first one that I had seen that I liked was, really would love Kyla to talk about her journey with ADHD. I've been recently diagnosed.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I think I've had ADD. I don't have ADHD. It's more ADD. So ADD is the type that goes undiagnosed for a longer period of time because it's not as noticeable unless you're getting, like, bad grades in school and stuff like that. But for me, it was just always very, very hard to focus on things and, like, especially for a long period of time. And I would get easily distracted. Someone would be talking to me and I would just completely zone out. And it got worse with age, it felt. It almost like I would have these random phases where I felt like I wasn't depressed at all, but I would be going through a phase where I felt a little bit more down, like if I was going through something or whatever. And I would go into work and, like, I had such a hard time listening to something someone was telling me for, like, longer than sometimes even just a few seconds.
Wow.
And I remember speaking to Daddy about this, and Dad was like, oh, like, I know someone that has ADD, and he had to start writing everything down. Like, so Dad's like, maybe talk to your doctor about it. Mm-hmm. And then I was also doing a lot of research on ADD and, like, the side effects of, or, like, the symptoms, the side effects and stuff. And I was even speaking to my therapist about it. And anyways, I went to see my doctor and I filled out this whole questionnaire, and she also asked me a bunch of questions. And she put me on an ADD medication. And when I tell you, this medication is life-changing, not only when it comes to my ability to focus, but it makes me feel I'm less hard on myself. I'm able to think a lot more logically. I have a more positive outlook on things. I don't feel like I go through these, like, depressive episodes as often. I don't really get anxiety, because with ADD, common symptoms are, or side effects, I guess, are anxiety and depression. Wow. Because you could have ADD and it's, you know, sometimes people will think, like, oh, this person's lazy. This person is like, they can't concentrate. They're an airhead. You know, there's all these, like, stigmas attached to it, but, and then it makes you kind of spiral. You go into, like, a little bit of a deeper depressive episode or have more anxiety. You care so much what people think about you. At least this is me, my experience. And it was really hard to get out of that headspace. And when I started taking this medication.
Was it, like, instant?
Yeah. So the way it works is you take it very early in the morning. I take it at 8 a.m.
Okay.
And it kicks in by 9.
Oh, wow.
And then it lasts 10 to 12 hours. So some common side effects of this is, you know, your heart could beat a little bit faster. You can get anxiety. And you can lose some sleep. But for me, that's never been the case. For me, okay. It's just, I guess my anxiety was just linked to my ADD.
Right.
Because now that I'm taking this medication, and, like, it could be different for everyone. So this is just my experience. Although I did hear from multiple people who are on ADD medication, we're like, Kyla, no, this is going to, like, change your life.
Do you feel comfortable saying what the name of the medication is?
So I started on Concerta.
Okay.
And my doctor kept upping my dose, and I felt like it was working and I loved it, but, like, it wouldn't last for as long as I wanted it to. Right. And I was still getting really distracted at some points.
Okay.
Especially more recently, in, like, in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
And so I spoke to my doctor again, and she now switched me on to Vyvanse, the lowest dose of Vyvanse.
And you find that works better.
And today was my second day, like, on it, and it's amazing.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're going to see how this week is. If the full week is good on this dose, then I'm going to stay on this dose. But if I feel like, no, I could even go a dose higher, then okay, I'll go a dose higher. The one thing that you have to be very careful about, though, is that you could be so concentrated on your work or your homework, whatever it is that you're doing, that you'll forget to eat.
Oh.
So it's common for people to lose a lot of weight. And because I'm someone that's already petite and a little bit underweight for my age,
yeah,
my doctor was really concerned about that. So she's like, make sure you eat in the morning before you, like when you're taking your pill, so at least you get breakfast in your system, because a lot of people will not even eat lunch.
Oh fuck.
And it's not that it makes you nauseous or anything, you're just, you forget, you're so focused on what you're doing. Yeah.
But at least at work you have like a lunch break, you know, because you're at the office.
Yeah, exactly. And there's been multiple lunches too where I'm like, okay, no, it's, I see that it's like 1 p.m. I don't have a meeting. I feel like I'm hungry. I'm going to go yeah. get something to eat or yeah. like order something.
Right.
And then I come home and I have dinner. But I have noticed I've lost like a little bit of weight.
Okay.
Because it's like I'm not eating three meals a day right. every single day, but not because I don't want to. Just yeah. that's the way it is. But when I tell you it's changed my life, holy crap. Because it, not only am I being able to like focus and accomplish things and like multiple things in one day.
Wow.
I don't feel as stressed.
Probably because you're accomplishing things.
Exactly. I'm not procrastinating as much.
Yep.
I am able to think about things in a much more logical way. I don't overthink anything.
Wow.
Well, I shouldn't say I don't overthink anything. I don't overthink nearly as much. And I'm a lot more confident.
You're literally like selling me on this medication and I don't even have ADD.
Well, the thing though is that like you're still going to have a little bit of those things, yeah. right? It's not like this magical potion or whatever.
Yeah.
But like because everything for me before going on medication was so like extreme.
Right.
You
feel like normal now.
I feel more confident.
That's like, I have a friend of and mine happy. Who was, I don't know what medication she went on, but she said it was like she put on these glasses all of a sudden that can make her see. Like that's how it felt.
Yeah,
it was like she was like blind and then all of a sudden she could see, and it was kind of like that. Like she could not focus on anything. She would be with her kids and then thinking about the dishwasher that was about to beep and go off and the email she didn't respond to and the text that she had to send. Like her brain was in a million different places at once, and then she was in the middle of having a conversation with someone that she wasn't concentrating on because she had a million things going yeah. on in her brain. And then she took this medication. It was like whatever she was doing in that moment, she was focused on that. And that's yeah. all she was thinking about.
Exactly.
And she was like, whoa.
And it also made me realize a lot about myself. Like I used to think, am I lazy? Am I not competent? Am I like, no, what's wrong with me? And then like, do I have no ambition? But like, I feel like I have all this ambition, but I'm not doing anything about it. But then I started taking this medication and I was like, no, I'm actually a very competent person. I'm very hardworking.
Yeah.
I have a good work ethic and I like, what was the other one?
I don't remember. But basically your brain is just working properly.
Exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
Not that it wasn't working properly before, but it kind of wasn't. It was all over the place.
It was all over the place, beating myself up constantly.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you figured that out. And anyone who's out but there again, who is listening to that, please talk to your doctor.
Talk to your doctor, because this is just my experience. Everyone's different. If you have any underlying conditions or issues, like whatever it is, you really have to go see a professional, specifically a doctor.
Yeah.
And get their input. Because even for me, I was hearing all of these good stories and everything, but I still went to go. I mean, you have to go to a doctor to get a prescription.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was able to, based off all the questions she asked me and me filling out this huge form, she was able to get a more like a better understanding of like what medication she should put me on and if I do actually have ADD. Oh my God, this is so funny. self-confidence, go on ADD medication.
Wait, what?
Someone wrote self-confidence. Like, I guess they want to know, like, how to work on your self-confidence and be more confident.
Oh, I thought they had also said go on ADD. No, don't go on that medication unless you guys, have
that was
ADD.
Totally a joke. Kyla, is it hard for you to be single? Love your podcast, by the way. Heart. Thank you. I go through moments. Sometimes I feel like down and I'm ready to meet my person and, you know, I feel lonely. And then other times I'm like just so grateful for my life and so happy I haven't settled. I mean, I've settled before.
Right.
But like moving forward, you know, it's like I really like my life right now. And the thought of, you know, being, let's say, 40 and still single because I haven't met my person is scary. Like, no matter what, it's still scary to think about because that could be a possibility.
I mean, that's in 10 years.
I know. But, like, there's just times, like, lately I've these past few days, I've just been feeling really happy with my life.
Oh, that's so good to
hear. It comes and goes. Like, sometimes sometimes I feel lonely and I'm sad and whatnot. But my friend and I made a pact that we would go on one date a month.
Okay.
Because we normally say no to dates.
Oh, okay.
We find excuses not to meet people. And, like, we're, you know, we assume things of, like, how this person is going to be or whatever. And then we won't go. And we're also forcing ourselves to actually go out and, like, meet people. So if we're invited to a party, so for example, we were invited to this Halloween party this past weekend. And she texted me the day of, like, are we still on for tonight? And in my mind, I was hoping that, like, she would bail. And so when she said that, I was like, oh, yeah, like, we are. I'm just going to take a nap and then I'll get ready. And then when I woke up from my nap, I was like, oh, like, I feel kind of weird and antisocial. So, like, you're going to have to, like, you know, get me out of this weird mind space that I'm in, right? Headspace that I'm in right now. And then I got to her place and she was like, I'm not going to lie. When I texted you saying, are we still on for tonight? I was hoping that you were going to bail.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, why are we like this? And, like, we took a few shots and we were playing some drinking games prior to going to the party.
Yeah.
And then we were laying on the couch like Alex about to fall asleep. And I was like, do you really want to go? She's like, no, but, like, we should. We should, Kyla. Like, remember we spoke about this. We have to force ourselves to do things. And I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. We went to the party. It was fun. I met a bunch of new people.
Oh, that's good.
And
It was worth it.
It was worth it, for sure.
Were you hungover the next day?
I was hungover the next day, but not, like, a hangover where I felt sick or, like, a really bad headache. It was more just, like, I was so tired and I didn't want to leave my couch all day.
Nice.
And I just wanted to eat food and watch the Kardashians.
I love. That sounds like such a fun day.
Yeah. But anyways, when it comes to, what was the question?
Is it hard for you to be single?
Sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. It's really like it comes and goes. But
normal.
I think that eventually when I do meet the right person for me, I'm going to be really happy that I waited.
I have a crush on a waiter. Please give me some advice how to flirt with him. I am a shy person. Thanks.
So I am a very awkward flirt. Like, I feel like I could, the way I flirt.
How do you flirt? I've never seen you flirt.
The way I flirt is like, it's not really flirting. It's just more like getting this person kind of like into me / hooked.
How?
I'll like, it's the way like I look at them and I smile, but I come off as like very innocent and like what I'm saying isn't like.
How the fuck do you come off innocent? Like, what do you mean?
Like, I don't know how to explain it. You'd almost just have to be there and see.
Do it to me.
Fuck no. Fuck. It's more like
Kyla's face right now. I wish we were filming this episode. That was so funny.
It's more of like, I don't know. It's like the way I kind of smirk at them as I'm talking to them. And like, I like look at them kind of like in the eye and like, I almost act like, I don't know how to explain it.
Okay.
But it works every time.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
So if you were talking to a waiter and you're doing that, he would ask for your number?
If yeah. If I'm in a confident headspace.
Okay.
Because if I'm not in a confident headspace, there's no way in hell.
Well, this person said they're shy. So they're a very shy person. So maybe if it's a waiter and I guess you go there often, go with friends. Like, literally go with friends and have one of your friends, like, give this person your number, being like, my friend thinks you're cute.
Oh, that's smart.
Like, she will kill me if I'm the fact that I'm doing this, but my friend thinks you're so cute and I just have to give you her number. Cause I've done that with my friend.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And, like, they dated. So it
worked. That's a really good idea.
So I like that. Because then you don't have to worry about asking for his number on yourself, especially if you're shy. Cause I get that. I'm a shy person. And you can have your friend literally do all the hard work for you.
Yeah, and your friend could even say, like, she'll kill me if she knew I was doing this right now.
But, like, she thinks you're so cute, and I just had to do it. And then if he's like, oh, listen, I'm in a relationship, then that saves you the awkwardness of, like, asking him for his number.
Yeah,
and exactly. Him being like, oh, I'm in a relationship.
Exactly.
You know, so I would say do that.
It's a really good idea. But I only do that. No, never mind. I take that back.
What?
I was going to say, I only do that flirting tip that I just told you guys about when I don't actually have feelings for the person. I just think they're cute. But that's not true because I have done it for guys that I've, like, had little crushes on and I was feeling, like,
Flirty. I wonder how I flirt.
People tell me I'm a huge flirt. But, like, really? To me, I just feel like... There's times where I'll be like, let's say I'm talking to a guy and I'm like laughing and whatever.
People think you're flirting.
People be like, Kylie, you're such a flirt. But like, I'm genuinely not flirting with this person. Like, it's just the way I talk. It's my body language. Like, yeah. I'll do this with a girl.
Literally, someone told me that too, that I'm a big flirt. And I was like, huh? Who do I flirt with? I'm literally married with a child. And they're like, every time you're like, we're in a group. And I'm like, okay, first of all, I laugh a lot. I really laugh.
I'm already imagining in my mind people that think you're flirting. It's probably because you feel so socially uncomfortable. And so you laugh at everything they're saying because you don't know what to say.
But I also genuinely, like, I have a lot of really funny friends.
Yeah.
That I piss my pants all the time. And I'm like, okay, I can understand this because I'm kind of a touchy person.
Yeah.
But, like, with girls too.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, if I'm laughing, I'm like touching you because I think it's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe I can understand that. They've never, like, expressed to me how they think I'm flirting. But I remember one time someone mentioning that. And I was, like, all insecure. Because I'm like, oh, my God. I don't want people to think I'm flirting with them. But they're like, no, we don't think it's anything. Like, we think it's innocent. I'm like, okay, but I'm actually not flirting with you.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're really funny. But, like, I'm not flirting with you.
I know.
I don't want to be around you.
Yeah, like, now you're making me uncomfortable. Yeah, now I don't want to laugh at anything you say.
I know.
I don't even want to look at you because if I look at you now, I feel like you're going to think I'm flirting with you.
Oh my God, Kyla, I was literally, okay, so wait, I have to be careful of how I say this just in case some people listen to this episode. We were in a situation, we were with some other, like, men.
Yeah.
And so Dan's talking to one person, whatever, and I'm talking to the other person. And no joke, his eyes would not leave my tits. Very obviously too. And I wasn't like wearing, I was just wearing like a t-shirt.
Okay.
But it was like he was talking to me and his eyes were here.
Oh my God.
Like I was like, I almost stopped and was like, can you look at my face, please? Like, yeah. It was so uncomfortable.
Ew.
And I was like, I always knew this was a joke that men did that. I never really experienced it. Like, okay, there's the glance, whatever, that happens. But like to fully just stare, like no shame. No shame.
What the fuck?
The whole conversation.
Ew, I would have just gotten up and, like, walked away.
And I told Dan after, well, I couldn't because of, like, how we were standing. And anyways, it was at my house. But afterwards, I told Dan, and Dan was, like, laughing. He thought it was so funny. I was like, no, that's so gross. Like, do you do that? And he's like, no. I'm like, really? Because now I'm, like, all insecure.
No,
he's like, you can, if someone has big boobs and you like look at them and you're like, okay, those are big boobs, whatever, but to like fully stare the entire time having a conversation, like, you think the other person's not going to notice? Dan was like, he clearly didn't care.
Yeah,
like, obviously he knew you were going to notice that. And I was like, ew, that's even more gross. That's like disgusting. I'd rather you be stupid and think that I'm not even noticing it than to just do it knowing I'm noticing and not saying anything.
How to know you're ready for a serious relationship. I don't think there's like a
rule book.
I don't think there's like a rule book. Like, I think that it's more just like you get to a place where you're like, I'm over going for emotionally unavailable people.
Right.
That was like, that's what happened with me. When I started feeling like, okay, I'm really over this. I'm tired of the emotionally unavailable mm-hmm. guys, because I was emotionally unavailable for a long time. So that's what I was attracting. Now I'm like just turned off by that. So that's what gives me more of like a sense that maybe I am ready for something more serious, you know?
I actually don't know, because so prior to Dan, I didn't have any like really serious.
Yeah, I feel like you can't really answer this because you've never really been in that multiple. Situation. So I would say for
21 when I started dating Dan.
I would say for me, it was really when I started just getting turned off by these emotionally unavailable guys, as opposed to like now I'm more turned off by that and more interested in finding a guy that's ready for something serious. With that being said, I do think that there's no rule book to anything, right? Like, it's possible that you meet someone one day and you don't even know if you're ready for a relationship, but this person checks all your boxes. Like, you feel very happy around them. You always, like, you know, you just drawn to them, like this gravitational force that's like yeah. bringing you towards them. And then, you know, you could just feel like, I want to try it with this person.
I mean, I remember when I started dating Dan, I mean, yeah, I was 21, but he had just gone out of a 4-year long relationship.
Yeah.
And when we started hanging out, he had told me, like, I'm not looking for anything serious. So when I did eventually develop a crush on him, I was like, of course, I'm developing a crush on someone who's not ready for a relationship.
Did you tell him that you were developing a crush on him?
No. And I had also told him I wasn't looking for anything serious, because I actually wasn't at the time. I was like still trying to get over like another guy I liked, you yeah. know? And it happened so naturally. Like, so naturally. And we were both like, okay, like we have clearly a lot of feelings towards each other. It was like so obvious. And then Dad's the one that was like, you can either sit back and watch the train of life go by, or you can jump on and enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm a jump. And yeah. so.
Was Dan the first person to initiate like telling you that he had feelings?
No, I had guys like want to date me before and have feelings
like,
for me.
No, like between you and Dan.
Oh, yes. He asked me to be his girlfriend at Daddy's birthday party when he was like kind of drunk. So I said no, because I was like, I feel like you're drunk and just talking, even though I know like the truth comes out when you're drunk, kind of.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'd rather him like not ask me when he's drunk.
Yeah.
And so the next morning, like, he didn't bring it up, so I was just like, okay, I guess he like forgot. And then that's when I like spoke to Dad that day, and Daddy was like, why don't you just like bring it up to him? I was like, no, I don't want to. Yeah. And then anyways, Dan brought it up again like later that night. He was like, listen, like, I kind of want to talk about like last night. And I was like, oh, you remember? He's like, well, of course I remember. And I was like, well, you're kind of drunk, I wasn't sure. And he was like, did you think that I asked because I was drunk? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, no. And so then I was like, okay, can I have the weekend to think about it? And I was like, you just got out of a relationship like a few months ago, like, I don't want to be like a rebound and have you settle. And he was like, honestly, Alex, like, I was not looking for anything at all. Like, I wanted to be single. He's yeah. like, this is so crazy, the fact that I feel this way so quickly. But it's also because in his relationship, well, I don't want to talk too much about that, but they were like on the way out for a long time.
Yeah.
You know? So it just worked. But yeah, he was like, not begging at all, because it wasn't like that. It was more just like, I know what I want. So yeah, take the weekend if you need to. And then I was like, okay. And then the next morning I was like, hey, no, never mind. Yeah. I'll be your girlfriend.
Aww,
it was so cute. It was so like young and innocent. I remember feeling so old. I was like, I'm 21 having my first boyfriend. Like, I'm so old. And now I look back at it and I'm like, I was such a baby.
Yeah.
Like, I was such a baby. Because
you compare yourself to, like, teenagers that get
I compared myself to everyone around me. I was the only one out of all my friends to never have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, I had flings. I had guys interested in me, but, like,
and no now one... you're the only one out of all of your friends that's been in a consistent relationship.
No, that's not true. Catherine.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
And Tess.
You didn't know Tess then.
No, not when I was single, but, I mean, I met Tess in 2015, the beginning of 2015.
Yeah, but you were already with Dan for, what, 3 years at that point?
Yeah. Almost 3 years.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. That was, like, pretty early on in our relationship. That's so weird.
I know, 2015 was 8 years ago.
That is wild.
I feel like COVID just really messed everything up.
Well, like, it's coming up, like, this coming January, it will be 9 years that Tess and I have been friends.
Jesus Christ.
That is so weird. Also, I'm turning
31 in December.
I'm 33. I'm getting closer to the mid-30s than I was to turning 30.
Time flies.
I know. It goes faster and faster. It makes me a little nervous, but then at the same time, I'm like, I'm so grateful to age. Not a lot of people get to.
I mean, I try not to think of it that way.
Not to think of it that way?
Yeah, because it's depressing.
Yeah. But it does make me feel, like, grateful.
Yeah. The only reason why I'm scared of aging is because your body starts to kind of go downhill, like, slowly but surely. But still, like, your 30s is still so young. One day we're going to be in our 60s and we're going to be like, remember when we thought we were old in our 30s?
Well, it's like, even like when in my pregnancy, when I, like, thought I had a huge stomach when I was like 20 weeks pregnant, I was like, oh my God, my belly's huge. And then I'm like 40 weeks pregnant with a fucking massive stomach. And yeah. I was like, haha, remember when I thought it was big?
Yeah, it's like all relative.
Yeah. So that's definitely true. Anyways, I feel like that's going to be it for this episode because we're batching again since I'm going away to Scotland. By the time you listen to this, you will already know that I'm there. So I'm freaking excited. And I'll do a whole episode when I get back. I'll recap everything. But
yes, I want the full recap and I want you to wait to tell me everything for the podcast.
Okay, amazing. But we are... going, it was me, Dan, Arky, Tess, Pat, and Theo. So
fun.
Our little, like, foursome is now a sixsome.
Yeah, that's so much fun.
I'm so excited.
So much fun.
We love you guys so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.